The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again to It Came From The Radio, this is your host Mark Torres speaking. With me on the phone and in purgatory, I have Hassan Godwin.
Thank you. Good to be in purgatory.
And with him in purgatory was our very own Charlie Saladino, but he got disconnected, so hopefully he's listening and he'll realize that he's not with us on the air right now.
He's in a better part of purgatory than I am. Probably beaches and sandy stuff, and, you know.
The better part of purgatory, all right.
Yes. People don't know about that part.
That's the secret part.
Yes, exactly.
It's in the back.
Yes, all the way in the back with the cheap seats.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me and our engineer Brian on the webcam right now.
Hi, Brian.
It's provided that you're listening to us live right now, as opposed to listening to us in the future, which is your present, which will be our past, and you're tuning into the web station and you see something else going on. Unless it's a week from now, and you'll see me talking about this, but of course at a different time. Nothing? All right, so...
I told you, I'm not fighting with you on that anymore. That lunacy is all yours alone.
Okay. Well, I was expecting some type of retort.
Nothing to say about that. It's just absolute insanity. And anyone who understood it should be worried.
Then I am worried. So I'm going to take it away with the news.
You should take it away with the news, Mark.
And as we've been doing for this 2014, the news is brought to you in part by the Rat Bashers at Belmore Towing, located on 2720 Merrick Road in Belmore, New York. Just in time for the holidays, for the Easter holidays, if you want to be treated like the person whom Easter is celebrated for, you want to be treated in that way, but legally, contact Belmore Towing.
You all right there, Mark?
I was trying to say it without saying it. So if you can understand the code, Easter is celebrated for a certain reason, and, you know, then, yeah.
If you somehow catch this drift, then please, by all means, stay away from Belmore Towing.
No, contact Belmore, if that's how you want to be treated. With the thorns and the whips, you know, go right ahead.
Well, that's only if you're lonely.
Yes, if you're that lonely and whips and thorns is your thing, then call the people at Belmore Towing.
Wow.
And they will be sure to treat you in the utmost respect as the same person who we are referring to in this Easter holiday.
Have you ever thought that we could be sued for...
Well, they are practicing... unscrupulous but legal practices, so there's no slander involved. I'm only saying.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how you paint it, but and that might not be how they look at it. Okay, never mind.
So let's take away with the sad news first.
Of course. What would news be like if it wasn't sad?
Be happy. We'll have happy news afterwards.
Oh,
or ridiculous news like we had last week.
It was rhetorical. Go on.
Legendary stand-up comedian and longtime Tonight Show favorite David Brenner passed away 2 weeks ago after a courageous battle with cancer. Brenner, in one of his final words, Brenner asked for $100 in small bills to be placed in his left sock because, quote, just in case tipping is recommended where I'm going.
Wow.
And his And his final resting spot will read, quote, "If this is supposed to be a joke, then I don't get it."
All right.
David Brenner made his television debut on Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1962 and appeared on the show more than any other guest for a total of 158 episodes. He wrote 5 books and appeared in a 1989 comedy called Worth Winning. He was only 78.
Wow. Hey, I saw Brenner.
Hey.
There's Charlie.
There's Charlie in Purgatory.
I figured I'd come in on that note, I guess. I saw Brenner in college, Queensboro. You know, when all the comedians and the bands were doing the college circuits?
Yeah.
He was at Queensboro. He said one of the most, well, a lot of funny things. I was a big fan of his. One of the funniest things, because I rode the A-Train a lot. He was great for sarcasm. He said one day he gets on the train, and he sits on a paper, Daily News, and the guy across from him says, "Excuse me, are you reading that?" He looks at him, he says, "Yes." He gets up and he turns the page and he sits back down. Wow.
maybe I missed it.
Yeah, me too.
he walked into a train, he sat on the Daily News, because if you know the trains, they're all full of, like, discarded newspapers.
Oh, okay. He was sitting on the paper.
He was sitting on the Daily News, and the guy said, "Are you reading that?" He said, "Yes, I am." He got up, turned
okay.
the page,
I
sat back down again.
I got it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah,
everybody laugh now, because I feel he did. I'm hanging up.
That was the joke is funny. It just took, okay. it took me a while to get there.
I missed the first part of the joke where he was reading
it.
I'm like, well, he's reading the newspaper, then he sits on it? I don't
because
get it.
I figured the son would get it right away, because he knows people are stupid.
I know. I would have if I had realized he was reading on it. If I had heard the beginning of the joke, I would have been like, oh, yeah, well.
All right,
it's like
I got
the guy
it.
in the terminal. I think it's a Steven Spielberg movie. The Terminal was Tom Hanks.
Right.
I didn't see that one, but I know of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the guy stuck in kind of some kind of a political purgatory because his country was deposed while he was in mid-flight to someplace else, and they didn't know what to do with him.
Right.
And there's a character in there. There's a janitor in the film who mops the floor, puts up a wet floor sign, and then sits to watch the people slip because they disregard the sign. And he's in hysterics through the entire movie because these people just, you know, wander up in their own busy little, you know, computer universe, reading a newspaper or, you know, listening to a radio or something, and they fall flat on their butt, and the guy, you know, to add insult to injury, the janitor who had wet the floor in the first place is in the corner in hysterics because they just don't bother to read the sign. So, yeah, that's predicated on how stupid people are. So, yeah, that joke works.
Well, speaking of how stupid people are.
Segway from home.
If you guys remember, Angus T. Jones, the half of the 2.5 Men, once again blasted the show that he is no longer part of, saying that it was difficult to play his role because he was a quote-unquote paid hypocrite who didn't feel comfortable starring in a racing show that didn't align with his Christian beliefs. For those
what?
Of you, yeah.
What?
He was a paid hypocrite.
Wow. Oh, man. Give me a break. Wait, he's the kid from 2.5 Men?
Yeah, the kid from 2.5 Men who's been
he's
on the show.
He's no longer on 2.5 Men.
Right, he was on the show for almost 10 years. He negotiated out of his contract last November.
Right, because of some religious fervor of his,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
He said, let me see, he admits that he handled his departure with the show poorly, but he is living a happier life finding God in Colorado, where he has become a close follower of the Seventh-day Evangelist Church.
Damn it. I knew God was somewhere in the nation. Colorado, he had to go. I don't know.
So he is a paid hypocrite who was paid reportedly over the 10 years, almost 10 years per episode, $300,000.
Yeah,
bad problem.
I feel bad for him a lot. I really do. I feel bad that he's not.
He was in hell with that money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Man.
And then he went to Colorado to go ski, and he found God on a ski lift, probably.
Yeah. There's another joke to that, but this is radio, so we can't actually say it.
My favorite person who found God was Richard Pryor in that comedy act. I first met God in 19. Yeah, I like that.
I remember that. I guess speaking of God.
Fred, you come home.
To honor the 10-year anniversary of the Lost premiere, the Paley Center for Media hosted a panel with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cruise, as well as actors Josh Holloway, Jorge Garcia, amongst others. And the producers finally gave a definitive answer to one of the show's biggest questions, which was, were they dead the entire time? And the answer is no. They were not dead the entire time. The characters definitely survived the plane crash and were really on a very real island. For us, one of the ongoing conversations with the audience was that there was a very early perception and the island was purgatory, and we were always out there saying, it's not purgatory. This is real. We're not going to sixth sense you. However, the scene where everyone in the church at the end of the show, yes, they're all dead there.
Well, they couldn't have been dead because after they got off there, one of them went to Hawaii 5-0. Yep.
I don't understand. So the original idea was that they weren't...
The plane crash actually happened. The island was real. They went through all that stuff. And then they had the flashbacks. So if you watch the show, you know, you start off with the flashbacks. You go into the plane crash. Then they go into what would have happened if they had left. And that part, they were already dead.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Great. I stopped watching that show, so I didn't really lose any brain matter. So, okay, good.
Right. You know what the great part about me is? I never watched that show, and I'm so happy at this point I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
There you go.
I watched that show, and I was very satisfied with that ending.
All right.
You're the only one I know who was satisfied with that ending.
Well, you know, it was what it was, and... You just have to put your own spin on it, and everybody's happy.
Whatever that is, it is what it is.
Whatever it is, yes.
And I didn't even know that question was asked about the show, so there you go.
Well, sorry to ruin it for you, dear Charlie.
No, that's all right, Herman, but no. No, that's all right. I wouldn't go back and see any episodes.
All right.
It's all right. I mean, it's just like, you know, Skyline, I wouldn't go see anything like that.
Man. Speaking of stuff people are already complaining about not going to see.
Segway at home.
Some films will never be forgiven. That's all there is to it.
Oh, my God.
Walt Disney Pictures and Lucasfilm revealed.
Walt and George.
Yes.
Wow.
That Star Wars Episode 7 will begin production in May. They've also confirmed that the sequel will be set 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi, and a storyline that follows, quote, a trio of new young leads along with some very familiar faces.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so 30 years, what's going to happen?
Pretty deep.
So that kind of, you know, makes sense with the age of the actual actors in
right.
the production. And that goes throughout the whole extended universe. Of the books, which they've already said that they were going to throw out anyway.
Yes, which is great for people who've been keeping up with those books for the last 20 years.
You mean like you?
No, not like me. I never read the Expanded Universe.
Really?
Never interested in the Expanded Universe of Star Wars.
Why? For a Star Wars guy, I thought that was your go-to thing.
First of all, I'm not the Star Wars guy. I really like Star Wars. I probably like it more than the two of you, which doesn't actually make me the Star Wars guy.
Well, between the three of us, you're the Star Wars guy.
No. Then you're the car crash guy.
I'm the Power Ranger guy.
No, you're not.
Power Ranger guy.
you want to be the Power Ranger guy, you can. That's all you. You can be the Power. But see, I don't have any expectations of you to know certain things about Power Rangers just because you claim to be the Power Rangers guy. Whereas with the Star Wars guy, you're expected to know certain things about Star Wars. And you know what? I keep telling you, I'm not the Star Wars guy.
So maybe you're the Star Wars guy who says you're not the Star Wars guy.
Fine. Either way. The bottom line is, I never read the Expanded Universe. Never interested in it. Expanded Universe is all about the politics of the New Republic, or, you know, Rogue Squadron, or, you know, X-Wing Fight, all this other stuff, and the Yuuzhan Vong, and whoever invaded the galaxy right after the Empire was destroyed. Never had an interest in any of that. I was always the guy who really just liked the mythology of the Jedi and lightsabers and stuff like that, so I stuck with the movie. So, yeah. But, I mean, I still think it's crap to turn around and claim none of this existed, so that we could go ahead and make more money without having to adhere to any kind of rules or anything like that. But, you know, it's no mystery that I am probably an opponent of this brand new era in Star Wars. So, not a supporter, but an opponent.
But are you going to see the next three? And the spin-off movies that they're going to be producing?
I'll probably see the first one because it's going to have, you know, it's going to be the first Star Wars in a couple of years, and it's going to have the original characters in it. So as the purported Star Wars guy, I'm kind of obligated to see it. Seeing that won't make me decide whether I'm going to see any of the others.
All right, fair enough. What about you, Charlie? Are you going to go see him?
You know what? I heard a little bit about it, and I'm a bit curious about this one, as a lot of people will be since they put that out, statement out. Of course, it's Disney, so I'm going to be kind of leery. You know, they're going to have, like, I hope they don't have characters like what's his name in there, the rabbit, because that character was a big. I wanted to shoot it. I love animals, and I, you know, I was saying,
Jar Jar?
Is
it Jar Jar?
Yeah. The character you do great, Mark. I don't know. It's the rabbit. I don't know his name, and he should have never been. So I'm kind of fearful that Disney is going to put like animated characters in there. You know,
they've already done. Really annoyed the heck out of the fans with the cancellation of the Clone Wars cartoon and the inception of the Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, which looks kind of terrible, according to the internet, which, you know, has to be taken with a grain of salt anyway, because everybody on the internet hates everything. But what it looks like is it's a cartoon with a whole bunch of new characters, and what it seems like they did, and someone made a very astute point. They took a successful cartoon, which was Clone Wars, off with canon characters such as Obi-Wan and Anakin and Yoda, Mace Windu. These kind of iconic and popular and important characters in the Star Wars lore. They took this show off, and also depicting a seminal event in the Star Wars mythology, which was the Clone Wars, to put on this kind of obscure, you know, these unknown characters, untested, unproven characters, in this obscure era of, you know, undisclosed importance or lack of importance. You know, they're probably going to dumb everything kind of down, childize it real significantly to make it palatable for all the kids, which is Disney's wheelhouse. And they expect everyone to be happy about it. And, you know, there's a percentage of people who are going to watch it just because the Star Wars name is slapped on it. But there's already a lot of hate going on. They took off something that was really working, and they're going to put on this kind of half-baked thing that, you know, the only incentive to really watch it is pretty much the fact that it has a Star Wars title on it.
Which is what they're banking on.
Well, of course. But, I mean, that's it. Those are decisions they're going to start making. Was like, okay, let's not revere anything. Let's not revere what came before us. Let's just start a whole new era where we make all the rules up, and we're going to make our decisions from here on in, and we're going to Disney-fy the entire thing. and, you know, and people will eat it because the Star Wars brand is a monster brand. Well, yeah, most likely they're going to lose a lot of purists. You know, nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to stay. Everything is going to, you know, work out because, you know, Disney knows how to make money. But, you know, Star Wars guys like myself and certain other people will probably end up walking away from the whole thing.
All right, fair enough. Let's see. Speaking of other movie franchises.
Other movie franchises from home, Mr. Segway.
Wow. How's he doing?
Bryan Singer is already spilling details about his next X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse. In a recent interview...
Can I say, before you even go into this, this is a terrible, terrible trend in news now, because there's obviously no news to report on anything, so everyone's constantly talking about what's coming up next, even though the thing that's coming up now isn't even out yet.
Well, I have a coming up now news if you want.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about this is the news of this guy making news is news. We're allowed to do it. But the whole fact that this idiot is talking about the next movie he's going to do when the last movie he's already done hasn't even come out yet is crazy. And they've done the same thing. They did the same thing with the Man of Steel. The Man of Steel will be out around the same time as some other movie.
You mean
Captain America 3. Man of Steel will be out at the same time as Captain America 3. Who's going to win that fight? Well, wait. Man of Steel 2 isn't even a movie yet. Captain America 2 hasn't even come out yet. So who is actually worried about which movie will win the fight?
Executives?
Movies that are 5 years away from now.
The executives? You know?
The executives are idiots, though. They shouldn't be. That shouldn't be news. That's not news. That's speculatory. Anything you read, an entire article on that. You can only read the speculation of the writer of the article. So that's not news. He's not reporting on facts. In fact, the fact that these two movies are coming out at the same time isn't even fact, as schedules are known to change frequently. It's madness.
All the way up to the last minute, as we've seen with the G.I. Joe movie. They pulled
exactly.
it at the last minute.
The last minute, then they jump it back 6 months to the point where everybody decides it's a joke. And then people see it, and you realize it's a joke, but enough people see it that they're going to make a third joke. So G.I. Joe 3. So
the third joke?
Yes, the third joke.
I have current news.
Yes, Charlie.
You're talking about X-Men, man-sized ape apocalypse, right?
Well, no, I can sideline that one for something that's actually current.
No. I said that us reporting on him reporting isn't bad.
Okay, back dead.
In a recent interview, he says that Apocalypse will deal with the notion of ancient mutants, but set in the 1980s, and will be the most destructive movie in the franchise. Apocalypse will have more of mass destruction of the X-Men films to date that have not been relied upon, and is definitely a character and a story that will allow for room for that kind of spectacle. It all stems back from when he did the first X-Men movie. He said you want to know where a character is going and what their future is going to be like, so you can always sequelize. As a director, you always need a backstory to give to your actors. It might not be the right backstory, but it's the one you give to the actor to help them understand their character. These prequels
might not be the right backstory. Okay. We might not be giving you the correct information, but darn it, we're giving you information.
Well, yes, they can pull their acting prowess to know where their characters come from.
Oh, stop. Somebody stop.
Oh my God, that is hysterical. We're not giving you the correct, but we're just spewing.
Yeah,
you know, it's spew. I think we'll call that the spew. You know how they have that show, The Soup, The View? We'll call ours The Spew. Whenever somebody makes a comment, like that, it'll be our spew segment. God. Welcome to the spew.
speaking of the spew, and to further annoy Hassan.
Oh boy!
After recently confirming two of the upcoming still undated spinoffs, the producers of the Spider-Man 2 movie have decided the Venom and Sinister Six. the Venom and Sinister Six sequels will be in a tradition of the hero-villain dynamics. They say...
What, the Venom and Sinister Six sequels?
Yeah, there's going to be a Sinister Six sequels, six Sinister Six sequels, plus a Venom movie. Has been announced.
Sinister Six sequels.
Right.
So there's going to be a movie for each of the Sinister Six.
Right. Which is supposed to be launched off by this Spider-Man coming up, Spider-Man 2.
So they're going to have their own separate movie.
Yes.
Sinister Six. All six of them.
All six of them plus Venom, because you got to have Venom.
Right, even though he's not one of the Sinister Six.
Right.
And is Spider-Man going to be in all six of them?
No. He's probably not going to be in any of them. Wow. Okay. Not how you felt, Charlie.
God, that's like... We might as well call him D'Artagnan. I never understood that. The Three Musketeers was four because there was D'Artagnan. Why not just the four Musketeers? I don't know.
And D'Artagnan's in all three Musketeers stories. So it's not right. Like there's one. There was one right. Before he got there.
And it's not like he's, which I can't understand this. It's not like he's, what's his name from Ghostbusters?
Winston?
What? It's not, I can't think of his name now. Why can't I think of his name?
Which one?
Who was the Ghostbuster they hired?
Winston!
Okay, yeah, Winston. What's his real name?
Ernie Hudson.
Thank you. It's not like Ernie Hudson. To me, Ernie Hudson went in there, he battled with them, he got thrown around, you know. He said some key lines, but he's not Ghostbuster. Why not? He got the jacket on. How come? You know? But I guess he didn't write it.
He's the other guy.
He's the other guy. Like D'Artagnan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's the Three Musketeers and the other guy.
It's like D'Artagnan kicked some, you know, medieval booty there, or I can't say what I want to say, but, you know, it wasn't that he was a wimp.
Well, it doesn't detract from him, he's just the Three Musketeers and the other guy.
And the other guy, right.
Yeah, so it's like, I hear the Three Musketeers, no, I'm the other guy, oh, all right.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we're the three Musketeers, and this is D'Artagnan. Well, D'Artagnan's a lot cooler name than Three Musketeers, you know?
Maybe that's why he didn't want to be in the Three Musketeers.
What they're saying is that there's going to be a glut. There's going to be a nonstop demand for comic book movies to the point where we can justify making six comic book movies.
Seven.
Not including Venom.
Okay.
We're going to have six comic book movies.
Right.
On comic book villains without a hero in it.
Wow.
Well, without the hero in it, there might be a hero in it, just not
What's
the hero.
What's the point in having another hero fight one of Spider-Man's Sinister Six villains?
Don't know. That's the best I can give you.
Yeah.
You're kidding me, though, right?
This is an actual fact. It is a fact that this is what they're doing.
That's backwards. I'm gonna just go on a limb, me, sir, personally, from the desk of Hassan Godwin. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Not quite.
Well, you
can. The stupidest thing I ever heard is the fact that Captain America 3 is going to be out the same time as Man of Steel 2, and then who's going to win that fight? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is the second dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's just absolute gluttony. They're going to ruin the market before Avengers 2 even gets out.
Right. That's the point.
The entire market was reinvigorated by Avengers, and now all of a sudden we have a resurgence of the X-Men, we have Spider-Man's back in the loop, we've got Superman, who's back in the loop. We got Spider-Man, we have Batman reconstituted, you know, after his trilogy has come and gone. Back in the loop. So all the heroes are in play again. And what they're going to do is they're going to have a Batman-Superman movie, and they're going to have a six Sinister Six movies plus Venom, and they're going to have, four X-Men movies four more X-Men movies. A whole new Wolverine movie is going to come out.
That's right.
All of this is going to come out around the same time, if not before, the second Avengers movie.
Don't forget the Star Wars stuff.
Huh?
Don't forget the Star Wars stuff.
Star Wars has nothing to do with comic book superheroes. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the comic book genre.
Well, they have Star Wars comics, so you can kind of just lump it all together.
No. Star Wars was started before the comic phenomenon, so it doesn't count.
Okay. Star Wars, yeah.
Huh?
I said, okay, carry on.
Yeah, you said Star Wars counts. I heard you. You want to have an argument, that's fine, but it doesn't count. That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, carry on.
The Star Wars movies are going to have their own market. They're going to make their money one way or another. It's not going to matter whether Avengers 2 comes out and tanks, okay? If one of these other blockbuster monster movies comes out and does really horrible, everybody will be talking about whether the comic book genre has ended. No one's going to talk about whether Star Wars is ended unless the Star Wars movie does that. And that's not going to have any bearing on anything. So it's a completely different thing. Now, the problem is the Avengers reinvigorated and pretty much was catalyst started this entire world. So you got another Captain America movie coming out. You got to have another Hulk movie coming out, right? You're talking about a Black Widow movie, right?
Yep.
And they want to do all this pretty much before or around the same time as the Avengers 2 movie comes out, right? And they're all hoping, let's face it, they're banking on it having the exact same, if not a larger success rate than the original Avengers. But they've just saturated the market with comic book stuff. And a lot of it is flop. The Sinister Six having their own movie is flop. There's no reason for that. That's absolute greed. There's no reason for it. And a good portion of the Sinister Six are going to be in the Spider-Man movie.
Supposedly, all six of them are going to be in the Spider-Man movie, which is supposed to be the launching pad for the Sinister Six movies.
Okay.
That's how it is.
Yeah, okay.
Sad but
sure,
true.
Yeah, I'm sure you're telling the truth. I didn't think you were lying.
Yes.
I just don't understand why you... And just about everybody else in the world doesn't see that as probably the worst idea imaginable.
Yeah, I've seen
you're
worse.
You're murdering your cash cow.
I've seen worse.
Okay.
But we are ready for our break.
No, we're not. I got news.
Well, make it quick. We want to do it when we get back.
Let's do it when we get back, because this is going to provoke a lot of thought.
All right, so we'll take our break. We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Thank you.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back where we came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin and Charlie Celentino, both in purgatory.
Indeed. Yes.
So, Charlie, you had a bit of news for us before the break, so what is your news?
Yes, I do. Okay. This... It wouldn't have mattered at all if I did not see this. I want to just say that before I start.
Okay.
And it wouldn't have mattered even after I saw it until I read the editor of Vogue's defense for this. But it seems that the Vogue cover is provoking a lot of notoriety, I guess. It's Kanye West and Kim Kardashian on the cover.
Right.
And it's like they're like she's in the wedding dress and they're going to get married or some BS like that. And you know, so they're on the cover. So our own Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy, and now the co-star of The Crazy Ones.
Right.
Just tweeted, I guess. Well, I guess I'm canceling my Vogue subscription, right?
Yes.
Who is with me? Well, 747 tweets later, Vogue found themselves in the middle of a controversy. So a lot of people are upset that she's on Vogue, which, again, I wouldn't care until Anna, what's her name? Hold on a minute. I am very prepared here. Until Anna Wintour penned this defense for her. She says, Kanye is an amazing performer. True. And for that reason, he should be on. Then she says, while Kim, through her strength and character, has created a place for herself in the glare of the world spotlight. Are you kidding me? Her strength and character? She has no strength. Throw her out in the ghetto and see if she can boost herself up to strength and character. You have no strength if you come from money. And there's nothing you want, there's nothing you cannot get, and there's nothing you fight for. There's no strength there.
It's ridiculous.
It's just a slap in the face of every working person in this world who can't get through her strength. They're the strong ones. The American working class who are struggling for a dollar. Our strength. You know, if you want to have Kanye on there, yeah, there's a reason for him. He has talent. Okay?
But wait. I agree with you. I do agree with you. But the cover is called, the magazine's called Vogue, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Which just means what's in.
Yeah.
And Kim Kardashian is in. She's got show, and everybody makes a big deal out of her.
Yeah, and
even of course, she doesn't deserve it. Nobody, mostly everybody who's famous doesn't deserve it. But she is in.
Right, but my point is, say that. Say yeah, she's in, just like Duck Dynasty is in. Don't say due to her strength. She has no strength. She's always crying. She has no strength, you know? Unless she wants to pull a tractor with that butt of hers, then she has no strength, you know? But when they insult the entire population of the United States and the world who are working to struggle her strength.
Yeah, but
what a joke. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't care who's on Vogue, but when you defend them with that, I mean, that's insane. But on the lighter side of that, the Muppets came out with a cover of their own. And it's called Vague. And it has Kermit and Miss Piggy on there in the same in the same type pose, and Miss Piggy's wearing a different wedding dress and everything like that. But the Vogue thing.
Man.
Wow.
All right, you with me?
All right,
Listen, you got me.
I'm gonna do this as best as I can. Speaking of strength, we're going to be moving over to what our topic of the week is.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
So, you didn't make me finish.
Oh, you got more?
There's more. So the Muppets did a Vogue thing, right? I told you about that.
Yes.
And on the Vogue cover, it's Kim and Kanye, their fashionable life and surreal times. So on the Vogue one, it's Kermit and Piggy, their fashionable life and their surreal times. So kudos for the Muppets for coming out with that one. But again, not that you should care about this, folks. I really don't care. It's just the way she put that, her strength. And, that's it. And now I'm done. She has no strength. They are useless, that whole family. They have no talent. And just if people want to watch them, fine. But I'm just putting that out there. They got through on no talent. And there's no strength because they argue about their big problem is, I don't know, I want to go for the Bahamas or Acapulco for my birthday. So anyway, that's it. I'm done.
So, carry on. So speaking of strength, we're going to segue back to this topic of the week, which that was very nice of you, Charlie. I do appreciate your passion with the subject.
Yes, thank you so much.
But we want to be talking about the movie 300, the sequel, 300.
Oh, 300. Oh, my God. What a movie.
So I guess you like this, Charlie.
No, I didn't go see it yet.
Just walked right into that one, didn't
I? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet.
Do not know how you didn't see that coming.
All right, yeah. So, Hassan, what did you think of the movie?
When was I told to go see this movie? Let's just going to give it... Let's take that minute before we even start.
Well, actually, you had mentioned last week that you had seen it.
Darn it. Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed that film.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. I feel bad.
You could always get a response when Hassan says, I enjoyed that film.
I know, because apparently, along with being the Star Wars guy, I have the reputation of hating everything.
Yes.
Which is so not true. You know what you do? You just mislabel people. You take the first trait you see, and you decide that that's what that guy is.
Really?
And yeah, that's exactly what you do. It's exactly. Because I don't hate everything. And we have it. We have archival broadcasts that prove the point that I don't hate everything. But yet you insist it's the truth.
It's revisionist history, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's retconning. It's retroactive continuity. I like the movie. I like the original 300, so I like this movie. I thought it was I got what I wanted. I knew exactly what I was going to expect. It was a completely inaccurate historical depiction of a real-life event. It was highly stylized and cartoon-like with cartoon violence and some really great fighting scenes and sex. And I was okay with the whole thing.
Speaking of the sex, I have to say that was one of the most well-done, tasteful sex scenes I've seen in a long time.
I'm not going to see it now.
Because... Just the way it was handled, that it wasn't about the sex, it was about the control that the two of them were fighting amongst each other. I thought that was very well done.
I used to thought it was hot sex.
That's right, guys. Be aesthetic.
Hot sex.
hot sex is cool. In a movie, especially an action movie, where I didn't necessarily expect there to be hot sex. I was like, oh, hot sex, apple blood, severed heads.
It did come out of nowhere. Didn't expect that to happen.
I'm like, when do you have time to fit sex in? Oh, like that.
Yeah, they did a very well job.
Movie starts. There's no preamble. Like the original, it's pretty much takes place the same time as the first one.
A little before and a little after. I'd say the first movie happens in between.
Around the era. It's not like 10 years later.
Right. It's not like 30 years later for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Okay, so because anybody historical knows the Battle of Thermopylae lasts longer than one or three days, and it was about more than just 300 Spartans.
Right.
There you go. But the movie kind of just breaks right in with, okay, here's a. You know, the battle's already taking place. These other people, these other commanders and captains and stuff like that, they're already all over the place fighting the battle. So unlike in the original one, where you had this like, okay, well, these guys are coming, and we got to figure out what we're going to do, and we got to figure out who's going to fight and why we can or can't fight. This one was already taking place right in the middle of all the action. So you wonder, okay, when are you going to have time for people to be jumping each other's bones and stuff like that? When are you going to have all that spiffy time for you know, like we said, like hot sex and stuff? And they threw it in there. I was impressed. Wasn't expecting it.
And they also managed to have backstories of certain characters.
Yes.
They did a very well-done job of mixing it all in and putting it in the middle of the story, and yet making a full story.
Yes, I agree. So, I'm a fan of the. I'm also. I was extremely impressed with Ava Green as the villain.
Yes.
I think that she managed to carry the movie very well, being the bad guy. And that's not any easy to do.
And for these two movies, which were not directed by
Sam. Very macho movies. They're very manly macho movies.
That's the point. It was very, half-naked men running around killing each other. And the women characters were all very powerful women characters.
They were.
Yeah,
you know, that was the only thing that kind of got me, is that scene that I won't talk about, but that you mentioned, the other woman in the film. I thought that was like, okay, that come on, that's a step too far. But all right. I said, fine.
But it wasn't
you gotta.
It wasn't like they put them in the in the back scenes, like, oh, women stay over there, the places in the kitchen. No, they put them in there, like, everybody's the same. They treated them very well. I thought, even in the first one, the wife, she did a very good job in the first one, using what she needed to do to get what she had to get done.
Exactly.
And
that's also Lena Headey, that's her wheelhouse, basically, is playing the strong wife, or either she's the crazy wife, the crazy queen, or the really strong queen that keeps it all together. That's
right.
Pretty much Lena Headey.
And I'm really impressed by how well it was done, and yet what bothers me is that when talking to other people, all of them, except for Present Company excluded, are saying that it was all right, it was good, but it wasn't as good as the first one. And I'm like, it was pretty darn good.
It was the number one movie in the mid. It's a hit, so who cares what they think?
As sequels go, this is a pretty solid sequel. It's very rare to get something like this in this day and age.
It didn't seem like it was a grab for money. I take that back. It was a profound grab for money. But it didn't. It felt like, okay, we really want your money. We really want to milk this for all it's worth, but we're going to make it worth your while for you sitting here in the theater.
for however many minutes it's going to take.
Exactly.
For all your money.
And the thing that bothered me was that, if you remember when I had mentioned it last week and a couple of months ago, when I had went to the NATO, National Associated Theater Organization, and the vice president of Warner Bros. Came out to sell, quote-unquote, sell his movie, he so undersold it for me. He's like, hey, you know, it's the same thing, it kind of has the same look, but it's on the water, so people are going to go see it. That was his description of the movie. And, like, he actually didn't need to say that. Like, yeah, this is a really good movie. You should go see it. No, he did the...
Well, he figured it was, you know, what the critics were going to say, you know, that it was going to... these guys are... It was like, the greatest thing ever in my life, all right, was a TV guy. It wasn't even a TV guy. I don't know if you remember getting the Daily News when we were kids, and there was, like, a TV guide...
And yes.
The Daily News.
Yes, the weekly, the Sunday.
Yeah, the weekly TV weekly or something like that.
Right.
And then they used to have little descriptions of the films, underneath, you know, in the daily TV schedule.
Right.
So this one movie came on, and I went to look it up years and years and years and years and years ago, and it was the. I gotta say it right. Return to the Poseidon Adventure.
Okay.
The original Poseidon Adventure.
Yes.
And I read it was Sally Field was in it. Like, you know, like serious people, serious star power was in it. And I remember reading the description for it, and it said, greedy movie executives milk a classic for all it's worth in an attempt at a sequel. That was the description of the film. So much so that it confused me, because I thought the movie was going to be about them making a movie of the disaster of the first movie. And then when I went and saw it, it was supposedly a legitimate movie where heroes legitimately come to the Poseidon to try to save people. I'm like, wait a minute. This was like some cheeky editor's idea of a movie description. And ever since then, a sequel has always, to me, been like a money grab, as far as I was concerned when I was a kid. Greedy executives decide to, you know, to come back for another spin at the wheel to try to get your money out of your hand.
So we have about 2 minutes left. So
go see 300.
Go see it. 3D, not 3D?
Yes, go see Rise of it is greedy, but it's still worth your while.
But 3D, no 3D.
No, I didn't see it in 3D.
All
right. I don't ever recommend 3D because of, psychotic episodes. So, take of that what you will.
I thought it was a very good movie, very well done, lots of action, good character development, a good story, a good sequel. The 3D, I saw it in 3D, was very well done. I've never seen so much blood splattered in my face in 3D ever. So if you like that kind of thing, then you should definitely go see 3D and see it in 3D. It's one of the very few times I would recommend to see it and see it in 3D.
And Charlie doesn't want to see the movie at all.
I will make my final comment of the day.
Go ahead.
Because after this, I'm not talking for the rest of the day. my final comment is, for men and women, it's a great movie. You got half-naked men and hot sex. Go see it!
I think we convinced them.
That's it.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. And join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and you can listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.